If the Israelites had not left Egypt. This is Rabbi Kenneth Chelst. In this talk, I will contrast the post-slavery experience in Egypt and in the southern United States. The Haggadah posits the following. V'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es avoseinu mimitzrayim, harei anu uvanenu uvnei vanenu mishuvadim hayunu lefaro b'mitzrayim. If God had not taken our ancestors out of Egypt, we and our children and children's children would still be enslaved by Pharaoh in Egypt. The focus of this hypothetical is taking our ancestors out of Egypt. God could have freed the Israelites, but left them in Egypt. If that were the case, generation after generation of Israelites would have been subject to the authority of the Egyptian political state. The black experience after Civil War illustrates what might have happened had the freed slaves remained in their geographical and social context. All blacks became legally free with the passage of the 13th Amendment in 1865, which outlawed slavery except as punishment for a crime. Congress also passed the Freedmen's Act, Reconstruction Acts, and the Civil Rights Act to protect blacks from being forced into labor situations that were likely to leave them free in name only. Congress also placed the South under military rule. Southern states used the exception for criminal acts as a way to work around the aforementioned amendment. The states passed black codes, which restricted the economic freedom of blacks. One common clause required all blacks to procure jobs within the first weeks of 1866 at the penalty of being declared vagrants. As vagrants, the blacks could then be hired out arbitrarily and against their will. Worse yet, former male slave children under the age of 21 and females under the age of 18 faced mandatory apprenticeship if they did not have adequate financial wherewithal to meet their daily needs. They received no compensation for this apprenticeship, but the owner was obligated by law to provide for basic needs for food and clothing. In addition, however, masters had the right to inflict moderate punishment. Fortunately, within a decade, these extreme economic restrictions were ameliorated. The severe shortage of workers during the Civil War, deaths, and disablement gave blacks increased bargaining power. They used this power to negotiate sharecropper agreements or field rentals, which gave them control over their workday and some control over their financial destiny. The typical sharecropper kept between one-third and one-half of his land's produce. This contrasts with Joseph's mandate of 80% of the profits to be retained by the sharecropper. Southern Democrats' goal post-slavery was to ensure that through elections, they regained control over state government. As a result, black freedmen made only limited progress towards actual equality in their economic, political, and social status. All this despite the series of federal laws that had been enacted to protect blacks and safeguard their right to vote. The gains that were won at the end of the Civil War took a major step backward in 1877. All federal troops were removed from the South as a result of the 1876 compromise that gave the election to President Hayes. The black experience post-slavery can be depicted as the attainment of second-class status along with bowed heads and limited true freedom. Freed blacks still bore weighty yokes and had to be careful not to walk in an overly erect manner to assure that they did not appear uppity, a popular term of the times, meaning that these people did not know their place in Southern society. In sharp contrast, God summarized his accomplishments as recorded in Vayikra 26, verse 13. I quote, "I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. V'eshbor motos ulchem v'olech eschem kamamiyus." Thus, the newly freed Israelites did not contend with feelings of inferiority. Thank you. Have a good Pesach.